Well, you know what I'm going to do is something you won't see a bunch of pastors do. I'm not a scripted pastor. We just do things by the Holy Spirit. And so I want to speak to that person today. I want you to get boys in the back, wonderful men that track me with that camera every single Sunday. I'd like some music at this point. If you have been very aggravated today, I want you to stand up, because see, one of the things that the devil does is he will get you in a state of aggravation and irritation and moodiness and offenses. And see, then what the devil's able to do is just take the word right out of what you were supposed to get. And see, God is not a God of disorder, but God is a God of order. And so, you know, I'm just real. And so I don't want you ever thinking that you have a perfect pastor, because you have like the most imperfect pastor ever. And I want to thank y'all that you love me past it. But even myself, I've had a little agitation. And you know what? God can't heal something that you're going to cover up. And so we're going to take authority over that thing trying to come up over us. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, right now you said in your word that you needed a binder, and God, you said you needed a looser. So God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I bind up that spirit of aggravation that would want to come over your children. God, irritation, Lord, marital problems in Jesus' name, I tell you to come into line right now in Jesus' name. Health problems, God, I speak to fear and I speak to worry and I speak to depression, and I bind it up in this place right now. I tell things to come into order in the name of Jesus. And God, right now, I lose the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, I thank you, God, that the problems that we came in here with, Lord, I know that you're working on them. So, God, right now, the only thing that's left to do is to praise you and to thank you for taking care of those things. And, Lord, I give this service to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you didn't, it's over now, so you can just be happy that it's over. You know, I've never realized until I got older that sometimes holidays are difficult for people. For one reason or another, they get harder sometimes. And so I'm very sensitive to that. And if nobody's told you yet today, I want to tell you that God loves you so much. God loves you, your pastors love you, and your church loves you so very much. This morning, I want to minister about something that's been very, very close to my heart, and it is just reaction and resentment. Reactions and resentments. Reactions and resentments. There are very few things that we as people can control, yet we try to control every single thing around us. Every single aspect of every single thing, even though we know that we can't control any of that. But what we can control is our reactions. When we get dealt something we don't feel like we deserved, and we can deal and control the resentment that we allow to live in our heart. Reactions and resentments, they go hand in hand. And so, for all of you people that like definitions of things, my mother's going, I've got school teachers in here. I've got people that like to read all these things. I only read the Bible, and that's how I like to keep it. You're not going to find me reading a good novel. That's just not going to happen. I'm not a reader, and I don't hold that against me. But the word, the meaning of reaction is an action performed or a feeling you've experienced in response to a situation or event. So reaction is an action that was performed. You reacted to something. Now you have one of two choices to make when something happens to you, whether it's good or whether it's bad. You're going to react to that thing. You're either going to react to it in the right way, the way that God would have you to react, or you're going to react to it how you would like to react to it. Now, I'm just going to keep it real with you. I I have to preach this message first to myself because I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you. Sometimes I have a terrible reaction when something just lands wrong with me or it hits me wrong. I'm going to have a bad reaction. I always regret those. I always regret them. We have to realize that we are in control of how we react. We are in control of how we react. A lot of times what's needed in the middle of when something happened to you and how you reacted is a speed bump right there. Because if not, you'll have something happen to you, and before you know it, you've done something, you've done said something, you've done something, and then later when you have a chance to reflect, you're not proud of yourself, how you what you said, what you did, how you reacted. You wish you could take it back. And so that's why we're going to speak on this morning. Resentment is bitterness at have being treated unfairly. Bitterness at being treated unfairly. Now, I want to just tell you that there are going to be times in life where you are treated unfairly. That's just a fact of life. That's just how it is. There are times where somebody is going to be mean to you and treat you badly, and it has really very little to do with you, if anything at all. And what we have to understand is, just like I preached about last week, is we got to stop taking that stuff so personally, because we're internalizing that, and when we do that, that turns into resentment. Then resentment turns into bitterness, and if the devil can get you in a state of bitterness, he can ruin your whole life. He can get you to doing things and saying things and acting out just to show that other person you can do what you want to do. And let me tell you something. You can do what you want to do, but there's going to be a price that you're going to pay for it. Let me repeat that. You can do what you want to do. There's going to be a price that you pay for that, though. That's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at a cost. And I'm going to tell you why it's costly to do how what you want to do. Because the Word of God says, now you were bought, and you were bought with a price. With a price. And so when we choose that we're going to handle things and step out of the will of God and do things that we want to do, there's a price that's going to be paid for that. Many things that I do, I don't want to do them. Many things. If y'all are up here thinking that my life is Jolly Ranchers and good times, it ain't. I don't even like Jolly Ranchers anymore. I've had too much dental work for them. I don't even eat corn on the cob anymore because I don't even want to mess all my crowns up and things I've got going on in the front of my mouth. But you're gonna pay a price to step out of line. It's going to come to you at a price. And there's something inside of us that wants to step out of line when somebody's rude to us, when they're mean to us, when we've received unfair treatment, when our pride is hurt, when we're offended, when somebody criticizes us, when we make mistakes. There's something in us that wants to get right up in that thing and have a bad reaction. A bad reaction. I was, where's my niece Bella? Bella, honey, I'm about to tell stories about you. I'm just kind of letting you know. And I decided to make a bad decision on Friday. I'm not afraid to tell you about it. It was just a bad call. I decided to go shopping with Casey Renee. And it was a 12-hour event on Black Friday. And I'm looking back at that, and I'm like, Lord, was that your will? Because I'm still tired from that, you know? If you ever want to go on a marathon race, the way that you're going to prepare for that is you need to go see Casey. Go shopping with her one time, and you're going to get yourself a good workout. So we're over here, and I've got Bella, and we're eating at a restaurant, and she begins to tell me that she has been breaking out in hives. And she's having a reaction to some things, and she doesn't understand what she's having a reaction to. Now, let me tell you a physical reaction. Let me tell you something. There are things in your life, each and every single one of you, me first, you're and I, we're having reactions to some things that are going on in our lives, situations around us, and we're having reactions to them, and we don't even know why we're having them reactions, but we're having them reactions. Just like that 13-year-old girl over there, her physical body, see, there's something going on. She's either eating something, Rosie, maybe the fabric softener, maybe a gluten allergy. See, there's something going on that's causing that reaction, but it's unknown at this time. See, there are things that can go on with the believer, and we can have reactions, and unless you get close up with God, you're doing some things, and you don't even know why you're doing them, and the devil wants to step up into your life and ruin your life. Now, Crystal, to me, craziness is when we keep doing things, and we don't even know why we're doing them. Do y'all do that? I do it all the time. Sometimes I'm like, Claudia, I'm like, you know what? It's midnight. I think I want a little snack. That ain't good for nobody. Do I need that snack? No. That is a reaction that I have to stress. If I'm stressed out, I want to eat something. If I'm mad about something, by golly, that little Debbie, she's going to get it. I'm going to torment that girl. It's a bad reaction. You got to get a hold of your bad reactions because they're weighing you down and they're stepping right in between you and the blessing of God. Bad reactions. Okay? Now I want to hit on something. I mentioned mistakes. Sometimes we have reactions and resentments about two different types of mistakes. Mistakes that we have done and mistakes that others have done that affected us. You ever have something happen in your life and you think, you know what, I didn't ask for that storm. That other person brought that on and I'm having to live with it and I didn't cause it. Okay? Now, there's times where you did something and you caused your own misery and you got to live with that. See, there's mistakes that have been made. Let me tell you something. I want to settle the score right here. We're going to put us all on the same ground. We've all sinned. We've all fallen extremely short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We've all made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. We're going to have to get grace. And Keisha, we're going to have to give grace. And let me clue you in. We're getting more grace than what we're giving. We're getting more grace than what we're giving out. Somebody snub you. Somebody say something. Somebody agitate you. Somebody offend you. You know what? Let it go. Let that roll off. And I know that's hard to do. But it's eating you up on the inside, is it not? It eats you up. It's the thing that you when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about it and you're already mad about it. The thing that you go to bed and you're thinking about and you're still mad at that and you're still going on with that, that's what I'm talking about. So when we have mistakes, a wrong reaction added to a mistake is a disaster. A wrong reaction added to a mistake is a disaster. Many people, here's an example. Many people, they get up into these marriages. Yes, I've gone to meddling. We all know I'm a meddler. Thank you, Rocky. I love you too. They get up in there, and they get up in these marriages, or they get into these relationships, and I've seen people get up into a relationship. The relationship was wrong. And they done got themselves engaged. And they feel like they need to go through with that just because they done said they'd do something. Look here. You're looking at somebody that was engaged 3 times. I never let that slow me down. Okay? There's something that my daddy used to say, crawfish on that. I was sitting there thinking, if I marry this guy, one of us is going to end up on 60 Minutes. It ain't going to be me. The other one was nuts. The other one was sane, and I married him. There are people, they've made life-altering decisions just out of a bad reaction, and then they just mistakes. Look here, when you realize that you've made a mistake, there is no shame in saying, you know what, I made a mistake. Jeremy and I, we got into an argument the other day, and you're like, I didn't know pastors argued. Look here, we argue all the time. I'm not afraid to tell it to you. And he says something to me, Mother, and I said, stop nagging me about that. Well, he got very upset with me, Keisha, because Jeremy has the brain of an elephant, and he can remember everything. I can remember nothing. So in my brain, he was nagging me, but he was like, Kelly, I haven't even mentioned that to you one time except for now. Look here. Didn't care. I had already said the nagging comment, so I had to stick with that. What I should have done was get that white flag out of my drawers and started waving it around. I'm sorry, baby. I made that nagging comment, and I shouldn't have, because now that you brought it up, this is the first time you mentioned it. You catch my drift? Don't barrel through and keep going on with your mistake. That's a terrible reaction to a mistake. That's a terrible reaction to a mistake. Stop having them reactions. So we're going to look this morning at Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to talk about Joseph. If a pastor cannot pull something out of the word for you, they're not a very good pastor. Who went to the parade last night? Well, I didn't know. I was there in spirit, but not in body. It's too cold for me out there. And we've got the best youth pastors in the whole world, and they didn't need my micromanagement, so I let them have it. And a friend of mine shared a video of a guy at the corner, and he was saying some things. And at first, I was like, you know, this guy really knows the word. Okay. He knows the word. He got really belligerent there at the end, and I'm like, man, I've been in ministry my whole life, man. We used to have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and read the Bible every day. I've never heard that verse. Some weird things. So you got to go to the word, and if it ain't in the word, it ain't right. So I'm going to give you the word. You don't need anything but the word. I'm going to give you the word. Joseph, out of anybody I think in the word of God, when it comes to a wonderful example of reactions and resentments, this guy owned it. He owned it. Lots of things were done to him. He had some perfect, spot-on, godly reactions. And he did not allow wrongdoing that was done to him over and over and over, he didn't allow that to turn into resentment in his heart. And so Genesis chapter 37, we're going to look at verse 1. And Jacob, this was Joseph's father, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, because what I've learned about the word of God is that you can go upon it line upon line, precept upon precept. Every single little phrase in the word of God, you can build your life on it. Now, the detail that I just read, Israel, also known as Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other kids. More than any of his other kids. I'm not going to ask who else feels like that way, because I've got my two sisters. in this room, and I'm not going to let them know I'm the favorite. But Jacob, he loved Joseph more than any of the other kids. Look here. It showed. Dad's going, oh, crap. Yes, I said crap. So here's Joseph, and he was the favorite kid. He knew it. Everybody else knew it. Look here. One of the things that causes an awful, awful, awful reaction is when you feel like somebody else is the favorite and it ain't you. Whether it's on your job, whether it's when you're raising your children, whether it's maybe you've been through a couple divorces and you think your spouse liked other things about his ex-spouse. Look here. All that stuff, why are we talking about this? Because, man, that's what people think up in their life. I wouldn't talk about things, Crystal, if it wasn't relevant. I'm just the only goofy, blonde-headed pastor in this town that'll say things none of the other pastors will talk about that everybody needs to hear about. That's just the bottom line. Many times people react to the favoritism thing, and it gets up under your skin. Look here, you're going to have to let that go. Why? Because you're God's favorite. Doesn't God have a way of making you feel like you're his favorite kid? He does. Guess what? He does that with everybody. Why? Because he's the man. They don't call him the Alpha and the Omega for nothing. He's it. He has a way that he makes me feel like I'm his favorite kid every single day. Sometimes I sit back and I'm like, God, I'm such a mess up. Why are you so good to me? He's like, Kelly, you're my favorite kid. Then I'm like talking to Carson Colton and I'm like, I really have no favorites with my children. But there's times where I don't want to be around them. It has nothing to do with favoritism. Just they've simply gotten on my nerves. But God ain't like that. And so here we are, we're reading about Joseph, and it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. This was also called the coat of many colors. It was a sign of favor, is what it was. That coat of many colors, that was really the favor that Joseph had, and so he wore that favor from his father, and he wore it, and he wore it proudly. Look here. God has a coat of favor for you to put on every single day. People aren't going to like it. They're going to hate your guts for it. They're going to wonder why everything works out so great for you and all this stuff. Look here. Keep wearing the coat. Keep wearing the coat. Don't be sorry about the favor of God that's on your life. People are going to be jealous of it. They're going to talk about you over it. They're going to judge you over that. Look here. Who cares? That's right, Lucas. Love that kid. Man, I love when kids like to hear my messages. You're the sweetest child ever. So here he is. He gets his coat, and it was just like, bam, in your face, other brothers. Dad gave me this coat. It's awesome, and ain't none of y'all else. You don't got one. Why? Because you're not the favorite. It's not that hard to figure out. So when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Here's the reaction. Here's the reaction. Okay, daddy loves little brother more than he loves us. What are we going to do? Are we going to just keep on? Did that mean that the dad didn't love the other sons? No, he loved them. He absolutely did. He just loved Joseph more. What them brothers should have done is they should have just settled that. Right in their heart, be like, you know what? Dad still loves us. Who cares if little brother's the favorite? He was born to them in their old age. Of course he's their favorite. But they couldn't do it. They could not do it. When they thought about it, it got under their skin. When they went to bed at night, it was the thing that aggravated them. Well, why didn't any of us get a coat of many colors? Why didn't we get... Of course, that's what they were thinking because they're human. But you know what? Just because you're human doesn't mean you got the right to, as a child of God, react in a way that you're not supposed to. They should have brushed that off. Favoritism is a hard thing to brush off when you ain't the favorite. And that's when you got to remember, look here, I may not be this person's favorite, but I'm God's favorite. That's what I've settled in my heart. And so they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. And then it gets worse. Joseph just didn't know when to stop because he had a big mouth. Most babies of the families don't know when to stop, and they have big mouths. Why, Kayla? Because we can get away with that. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So here's some more hatred. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up right while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and because of what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers again. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had, and will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Let me tell you something. Joseph probably should have just kept that to himself. Okay? There's going to be some things that God shows you about situations that you're in. People aren't going to understand them. Why? Because it ain't about them. There's too much time spent trying to get people to see things our way. Stop doing that. No amens. Well, I'll just repeat myself. There's too much time that we spend trying to get people to go along with what we feel and what we believe is going to happen. And when they don't come on board with that, we're all worked up. Look here. That's a bad reaction. That's a bad reaction. Why? Because the word says don't cast your pearls before swine. Am I saying other people are swine? Not necessarily, but I'm not saying that. Some of them are swine. You don't got to blabber everything about your life and expect people to react to that in a good way, because they're not going to. They're just not going to. Why? Because people are jealous. They get jealous. And they get contrary. And they get envious. Okay. So, manage your reactions. Manage your reactions. I'm a very blessed woman. I've got the best aunt in the world. Her name's Aunt Kathy. And she is a hot-blooded Italian, passionate woman. Need I say more? And she always tells me, "Kelly, manage your expectations. Manage your expectations of others." And to take that a step further this morning, your pastor's looking you in the face, and I'm telling you, manage your reactions. Manage your reactions. There's some things that you're reacting to, that they're not really you. Stay true to you. Don't let a situation or a circumstance take you out of who you really are and become somebody else that you're really not just because you got your feelings hurt or you got a little salty. Look here, stay true to you. Stay who you are. Stay sweet. A lot of people say, "Pastor Kelly, you're just too sweet." Look here. Rosie, I'm trying to keep it. Why? Because the day I let something else turn me into somebody else, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble with that. So, manage your reactions. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 39. And so Joseph went through a lot of things in his life. So I'm going to hit the highlights. So one day, he's going to his brothers, and they cannot stand this kid so bad that they're like, okay, we're either going to kill him. That's what they intended to do, really, was kill him. So they put him in this hole, and they had a little lunch. And as they were having their lunch, half of them were talking about killing him. And then one big brother was like, oh, I don't want them to kill him. Oh, my God. That's a little too far, you know. So a caravan drove by. So they sold him instead. They sold him as a slave. They took that coat that caused them so much aggravation and irritation. They put some blood on it. They went home to their dad and they said, little brother is gone. He died. So Joseph goes through a course of his life where some things happen. Okay? He meets Potiphar. Potiphar was a very nice man. Now, he had a troublemaker for a wife. Potiphar's wife wanted to get with him, if you know what I mean. And he was not going to do that. She didn't like to be told no. We'll leave it at that. Mama Brenda's going, oh, my God, Kelly. Yes, we're saying this stuff. It's Rocky, it's true. What else am I going to preach? The truth. So Joseph was like, no, I'm not going to. Shelly, this is Rocky right here. Rocky and Jack. Shelly's over there going, who's Rocky? This sweet lady. So anyhow, Joseph, he gets sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife had a crush on him. He wasn't going for that. So she framed him. He gets put in prison. Well, prison's not fun, I'm just going to tell you. Well, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. Here's Joseph. He's in Potiphar's house. And it says here, now this is still the kid that got sold as a slave by his brothers. And it begins to tell Joseph's story. And here we are at Potiphar's house with all the woman problems. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house with his Egyptian master. Okay? Even though Joseph was in a situation that he didn't ask for, what did we just read? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. See, God will be with you when nobody else is. God will be with you when everybody that told you they'd be there with you and they'd stick it through with you, Crystal, sweetheart, God will be with you when they all leave. Why do I love God so much? Because God's been with me, man, through thick and thin. That's why. That's why. Because I know at the end of the day, the only one that I can count on for fact that ain't leaving is God. God leaves, we're all in trouble. Amen? So it says, here he is. He's at Potiphar's house. God was with him there. Okay? He has a little altercation with Potiphar's wife. Then he goes to jail. Let's go to chapter 39, verse 20 and 21. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Here we are again. See, you're going to go through courses and phases and seasons of your life. God's with you. God's with you. When you're in the mountain, he's with you. When you're in the valley, Sherry, he's with you. Did Joseph ask for this? No. He didn't. Did God allow it? Yes, he did. There's things, Miss Mary, that we go through in our life, and we're sitting there, and we're mad at God, and we're asking God why he let it happen. Look here, quit asking God why he let it happen. Go with it. Why? Because he's going to be with you. Because he's going to be with you. God was taking him to a place, and he said, look here, you're going to have favor just like you had. Is it going to be a little rough? Yeah, I'm still with you, Joseph. If you're in the prison, I'm with you. If you're in Potiphar's house with a crazy woman, I'm with you there too. Okay? So it says that he was with them. So then Joseph becomes in charge of the prison. See, everything that Joseph put his hands to was blessed by God. Did he have a perfect life? No. He had a lot of trouble that was caused by everybody but him. A lot of your struggles that you're reacting to are products of things you didn't ask for. God's still with you. God's still with you. When the unthinkable happens, he's still with you. And so he became in charge of the prison. He worked his way up again and again. See, where I'm going with this is there's things that's happened in our life and we think, can I ever recover from this? Yes, you can. Can I ever be whole again and happy again? Yes, you can. Will I live to see a day where I'm not brokenhearted? Yes. Yes, you will. There are things that the devil sent out as a snare to break you down and to make you fall and to make you quit. And I want to tell you what, God is going to help you rebuild your life. Did it matter that Joseph had to make a few pit stops to Potiphar's house and to the prison and all these things? Look here, didn't really matter because at the end of the day, anywhere that guy went, he had favor. And God was with him. And so God's going to help you rebuild. He'll help you get to a better place in life. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 41. So he's in charge of the prison. By this time, he meets Pharaoh. He impresses Pharaoh because he was anointed by God. And Pharaoh puts him in charge of the palace. And he said, nothing's going to happen with this palace unless you say. And then, so we've gone from the jail to the palace. And he was in charge of both. That only happens with God. So don't be intimidated and react wrongly when you're told no about some things in your life. You're going to hear the word no many times. The only no's that you need to be concerned about is when God tells you no. And if God ain't told you no, then keep going. Keep going. So he's made it to Pharaoh's palace. He gets to be put in charge of Pharaoh's palace. And he has immense favor and responsibility and all these things. So then Joseph gets a wife. Now, what does the Word of God say about wives? One of the things that he says is when a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing. So for all you men that have your good thing, remember it. Remember it in the good and remember it in the bad. Remember it. So here's Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, we're going to read a verse. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh, because God has made him forget all of the trouble that he had. Why did he name that kid Manasseh? Let's read it again. It is because God has made me forget all my trouble. Are you open to the idea of God making you forget all your troubles? I'm going to ask you again so everybody can concentrate on the question. Are you open to God making you forget all them problems? How many of you, you'd say, Pastor Kelly, I got so many problems right now. I'm feeling down because I got lots of issues. Amen. I feel you. Look here. Be open to letting God make you forget them problems. Why? Because he's well able. Because he's well able. Let's read on. It is because God has made me forget all my troubles in all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Look here. People get very confused when they suffer in the name of Christ. It's a confusing thing, and I'm going to tell you why. Because we hear what a loving, gracious God that we have. And he is all those things. And Kayla, there's something that goes on in us that when we suffer, we want to look at God and we want to say, God, why are you letting me suffer? Look here. In the middle of the suffering, what does God do? He blesses you there. He'll bless you there. Do we like to suffer? No, but for Christ, there's going to be things you're going to suffer. In this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have some suffering. Be a good cheer because God's going to bless you right in the middle of that suffering. In the Psalms, David said, God, you enlarged my territory right up in the middle of all of my problems. You're not made when everything's going right. True Christians, real believers, we're made in that valley when everything's going wrong. Why? Because it causes us to turn and to look at God. Because there's something about a good battle that makes us realize we're very incapable of handling it. When you're really right in the thick of it and you say, God, this ain't working unless you make it work, you're on your way. So he named his sons after things that he wanted to remember about the battle. The one son is because God made him forget all his troubles. The next son was because God made him fruitful, successful, right in the land of his suffering. See, God's the only one that can do that. Why do you need to not have a bad reaction when things are done to you, when you're going through a battle? Because, see, God wants to bless you right up in the middle of that battle. There's too many Christians praying, God, just take the battle. Look here, the battle's making you. The battle is making you. It's making you who you're supposed to be. See, God will use a good battle that he didn't cause. Look here, God don't cause battles, but he allows them many times. And they're not pleasant. But he'll allow it. And by the time you get done out of that battle, he's done blessed you right up in the middle of that thing. But see, the next time a battle rolls around and the old you would have been all worried and whatever, you're sitting there going, well, God will have to just handle that. God will have to handle it. There's so many times over the past almost 3 years, Miss Virginia, where the Kelly 3 years ago would have been horrified. Look here, Crystal, there's things now that I go, God, I don't know. You're going to have to deal with that. And I'm going to move on and I'm going to keep going. Because, Lord, you're going to have to deal with it. And when you deal with it, it'll be dealt with. So are you willing to let God bless you in the suffering? A lot of people, they don't want anything about the suffering except for it to be over. And you get resentful. And you start having bad reactions to things. Amen. Are you open to forgetting your troubles? And I wrote this in my notes. Most of the time in my sermons, I don't write any notes. But there were some things that I wanted to remember to pull out. So I wrote here, are you open to forgetting your troubles or are you nursing them? Now, I have some beautiful, beautiful nieces, and I am so proud of my nieces. And I could not love them more as if they were my own children. And I watched all my sisters have these babies. And them girls are different than them boys, let me tell you. Thank God he doesn't give you everything that you pray for. Because I'd have twin girls and I'd probably be in prison myself. He'd have to bless me in the prison just like he did Joseph, because that's where I'd be. So I remember about 13 years ago when Melissa had Macy. Macy was the first girl in the family that was a grandchild. And Macy was beautiful. She was a beautiful little girl, her and Bella both. They both had that curly hair. But Melissa, her mother, was very set on breastfeeding that child. And she did for like a year. Now, she was one of these mothers. Shelly, you're going, no. Melissa was one of them mamas that when the baby book said, you take that pacifier away from your kid at month 10, she did it by the book. So one day, Melissa woke up, and she looked in her book, and the book said, stop breastfeeding at this moment and this day in your kid's life. Bam, there's Melissa. And that bothered me so bad. And I would have the girls and their families come over on Sundays, and we'd eat lunch, okay? Melissa decides she wants to come over for lunch while she's trying to wean Macy. That wasn't working. Because Aunt Kelly, I don't tell my nieces and nephews no, ever. Or I wouldn't be the favorite. That's how I got to be the favorite. Give them whatever they want. And here's little Macy, and she's just a little bitty baby. And she gets her blanket that she nursed with when with her mama, and she keeps going to Melissa. She keeps going. Melissa keeps, nope, we're not doing this. And I'm like brokenhearted over this. I'm like, man, if I could nurse you, I would. No shame. I would do it, Macy. This ain't working that way, though. Melissa kept on. And I thought, oh, my God, this is like child abuse. And Macy would cry, and she would cry, and she kept on. She'd get her blanket. She'd go to Melissa. Macy, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing it, Macy. No more. And she was faithful to telling that kid no. Melissa's like superwoman. I mean, she just is. I can't say enough good about Melissa. She's a wonderful person. And finally, Macy would go in the corner, and she would just cry herself to sleep. One day, she just woke up. She was done with breastfeeding herself. She was done with it. Now, the question was this. Are you open to forgetting your troubles? Are you open to stopping those bad reactions? And are you open to stopping the resentment? Here's what most people, and unfortunately, including believers, here's what we do. We nurse the problem. And we react to it. And then we nurse the resentment until it turns into bitterness. And here's how we do it. We replay everything that was said and that was done. When we wake up, Kayla, we'll think about it. And we'll replay it. See, you have to shake these things off because if not, they're going to get stuck up in you like a burr and you're going to have trouble getting it out of you. Many people nurse the resentment. And we play those things over and over and over in our mind. And it's like nursing a baby. Was it hard for Melissa to say, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah, that was probably one of the hardest things that Melissa's ever done. She was smart enough to do it and stick to it. She kept telling that kid, no, we're not nursing. You're too old for that. Look here, we're too good for nursing these hurts that we got and these resentments and these things that get us going. Now, I'm just going to see how honest are we today. You got things in your life that people said to you, and they may have been 5 years ago, and you're still replaying it in your brain, and you're just still going on with it, and you're still replaying what they said, and replaying what they do, and how they did it. Keisha, I've got things in me I'm not proud of. I got things in me that, my God, if I let them just get after me, I will be an awful person. There's so many that I have trouble forgiving. And I even know what they were wearing when they said what they said. Pink corduroy pants and a gray floral sweater. I'm going to nurse that resentment. Look here. You're not going to have that code of favor if you're going to be doing that. You can't nurse that resentment, and you can't be having these bad reactions. Bella goes, Aunt Kelly, I keep taking Benadryl and I'm still having the reactions. Look here. That's a problem. There's things going on with us, and we got to stop reacting the way that the devil's wanting us to react. The devil gets you in a period where all you're doing is reacting. And in the middle of all that reacting, what you're really doing is sinning. That's the dangerous part. So let's go to Genesis chapter 45. Can God turn anything around? Yes, he can. That's what he's the best at. So here we are. There's a famine. God's about to turn the situation around, and God's about to reveal why it was exactly that Joseph had to go through everything that he had to go through. Look here, your battle is not just about you. Your battle is not just about you. God's going to use that battle, and he's going to cause it to turn out for the glory of God, but you're going to have to be willing to let him do it and not react right in the middle of it. So here's Joseph. Then Joseph could no longer control himself. So here he is, and there's a famine in the whole world, and here's Joseph's brothers, all the jerks that done disowned him, done sold him, done caused him all these problems. Here they are. They're right in front of him. Look here. He was still in that power, Dwayne. He was still head of every single thing. That's why we're not God, because some of us would be like, they're getting snuffed out. They're done. There they are. I want every one of them. They're all getting hanged today. That's why we're not God. For more reasons than one, but that's one of them. So here's his brothers, and here he is. And then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph. And when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. My question to you today is, do you know who you are? Here I am, bros. I'm Joseph. I'm the one that y'all did that stuff to. You know what Joseph had a very deep sense of? Who he was. Who he was. I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And when they had done so, he said, I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, here is one of the most beautiful things, I think, in Scripture. When I read this last night, I just wept. I said, God, please make me more like that guy. And Joseph, it says, I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, see, he wasn't, He wasn't going after anything, Rocky, but the here and now. I'm your brother, and right now, here's what we're going to do. Do not be distressed. So he's telling his brothers that did all these rotten things to him. Look here, don't be distressed. Don't be upset. Don't worry, brothers. You know what that's called? Kindness and love. See, could you look at the person that's hurt you the most and say, hey, don't be worked up about it. I'm not. Can you do it? And do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. Don't be upset at yourself for what you did to me. That's called power. When you can look at somebody and you can set them free over the thing that they did to you, that they're, you don't think God dealt with them, brothers? Yes, he did. When they came face to face with Joseph, he's going, look here. Don't be upset at yourself for what you did to me. You know what he did? In that moment, he taught them how to react correctly. See, you're teaching other people how to react. You're teaching your kids. You're teaching your family. You're teaching your coworkers. You're teaching everybody how to react. Some of them are going to follow your lead. You're going to be the only Jesus that they see. What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? And do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Look here. There's the big picture. There's a big picture of why you're going through what you're going through. A lot of times it has to do with other people. There's times where I sit back and I say, God, why did you let this happen? Look here. It was for the better good of everybody. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. See, can you look at your life struggles and say, you know what? God did this. God helped me. God's helping you. God helped us through this battle. God's helping us. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to skip down here to verse 14. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. So, today, we've talked about reactions and resentments. Why do we talk about those? Because probably in about 5 minutes, you're going to have a perfect time to do both of those. You'll walk out these doors and life will hit you right up in the face. That's why we talk about real things here. I'm not going to sit here and play that violin for you and all those goofy things, because while I'm playing the violin, life will actually be happening. That's why we don't play violins here. Now, if y'all do play violins, I want to know. I'm going to get that talent, and we're going to use it for God's glory. But we're not playing the theoretical violin, because life is going on. You're going to react, and you're going to choose how you're going to react. Here's my point. You choose how you're going to react and respond. You choose that. You choose it. Nobody's making you choose what you're doing. You're choosing it, whether it's right and whether it's wrong. You are choosing. You and only you are going to choose how you react. You and only you are going to choose if you're going to have resentment up in that heart. Nobody else can make those decisions for you. Are there things that happen that's unfair? Yes, there are. Are there things that happen that shouldn't? Yes, there are. Do you trust God or do you not? Because the God that I serve, he will turn that stuff around. If it ain't right, he'll turn it around. You're going to have that attitude in that heart. Like Joseph said, he could have said so many things about the problem, but what did he say? God did it so I could save something for you. He said that to the people that were the most wicked to him. God took my life and I went through suffering for you. you're gonna choose how you're gonna react, and you're gonna choose how you wanna respond. This is something, Michelle, I have to deal with this on a daily basis. I probably couldn't preach a message that was more for me than this one, because I have trouble being resentful. And I have trouble with my reactions. But I'm ready now more than ever to just let that go. My question for you, everybody can stand or nobody can stand, really makes me no difference because I'm standing. That's all I'm really worried about is myself. Ain't nobody answering to God for me but me. If you've listened to this message and you've said, you know what, I got a real problem with some of my reactions that I've been doing. I got some issues with some resentment that I've been nursing and I want to let that go. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And you know what we know when we react? See, what we're doing right now is a reaction in itself. We're reacting to the word that was put out today. What does God say when we react the right way, Keisha? He says exactly what he said to Joseph. I'm with you in the prison. I'm with you in Potiphar's house. I'm with you in the palace. I'm with you. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, that you have met each person, God, exactly where they're at today. Lord, for every person, Lord, that's hurting in here, God, I ask you right now to, Lord, help them. God, I ask you to comfort them. God, there's nobody that can comfort quite like you can. So, God, in Jesus' name, I call down that comfort, God, that only you can give. Lord, I ask for forgiveness to flow through your kids right here and now. God, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would help us lay these things down. God, I bind up that spirit that wants to wake us up in the middle of the night to think about it again and to rehash it again. God, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. We thank you for this day, God, and I thank you for the word that was planted. God, I ask that you'd water it and cause it to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.